I've got something to talk to you about today, and it's something I feel that the Lord really impressed me with, wouldn't let me get away. Sometimes we worry about how we present things. Is that okay? You guys okay with that? Sometimes we worry about it, and sometimes I say, Lord, I don't know why. Hallelujah. But put all that aside, put everything around. God has told me you are my mouthpiece. I want you to say what I got for you to say. Amen. If I'm going to be a mouthpiece for the Lord, I got to say what he wants me to say. Amen. So hold on. Get your notebooks. Get ready to do some writing. I believe God is speaking to us today. I was watching the news, and I was watching how there was folks in Tucson. There was about 200 group of people that were protesting the election. And out of my, just came, and excuse me if I say this, I'm sorry, but it just got, what a bunch of idiots, is what I said. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, no, that is not what I'm looking for. How many of you know that I want to do what God wants? Hallelujah. I want what's coming out of my mouth, I want it to be what God is saying. Amen. And God began to take me down a road I was planning on doing some, because I had a few folks ask me about, can you please talk a little bit more on the actions of the spirit, soul, and body? Could you please teach us a little bit more on how that works? Give us more scripture on it. And I said, yeah, I can do that. So I was thinking about doing some of that today, but the Holy Spirit, after that little comment, the Lord just kind of switched my heart and said, look, this is the direction we're going. Amen. Hallelujah. If our country's going to be great, it's going to be because of the people of God that are in the country. How many of you know that? And knowing what they're doing. Knowing what God is looking for. Amen? It's important that we know what God is looking for out of our lives. Is that correct? How many of you? The Word of God says in Peter that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Do you know that? It begins at the house of the Lord. And I'm not talking about the kind of judgment that you know, you say something wrong and God smashes you for it. Is that right? I'm not talking about that kind of judgment. The kind of judgment I believe God is talking about is well understanding what he's saying, giving us good judgment on what to say and what to do. Is that okay? And then, but the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Listen, folks, if we don't do it, how can we expect the world to do it? If we don't stop our mouths and quit calling people names and doing all those kind of things, how can we expect the world to do it? Because we're doing it. And we are the body of Christ in the earth. And we belong to him. And we are of another kingdom. And the kingdom has certain ways it speaks. Amen? Hallelujah. So we got to be careful with what we're saying. Oh, can you tell the Lord got a hold of me? He says, hey, man. I said, well, shut my mouth. He says, I'm trying to. Man, I'll tell you something. And I thank God for that. You know, the Word of God says in David, it's in Psalms. I think it's in Psalm 23, but I'm not sure. I have to look. But it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Is that right? Can I tell you, it is a sweet, sweet comfort when God corrects. It's a comfort that man, hey, God, I hear you. Thank you for loving me enough to tell me that I'm wrong. That I'm wrong about this stuff. Is that all right? Amen. Because he does care about us. And then he tells me, remember, boy. I say boy because that's my nickname. Is that right, Pamela? Where you at? Is that my nickname, Pam? Boy. That was her brothers, her dad, they called me boy. They called my little brother baby. And we couldn't shake it, could we? It was stuck. I saw her brother 2 weeks ago in the hospital, and he goes, hey, boy. Go ahead. Hey, Gerald, how are you, brother? But the Lord said, hey, boy, I've placed you before my people to speak my words. Oh, you got to hear this. I placed you before my people to speak my words. Be confident and be very much aware that I am speaking through you. And sometimes it's hard to do that, to be aware. Sometimes I grade myself. You know what I mean? I go, oh, man, that was no good. That wasn't, I mean, I hope somebody got what I was saying. But I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you what. The Holy Spirit's been after me about that. Stay humble. Amen. And listen. And then speak. So that this morning, there's going to be a lot of scripture in this morning. Because I believe that God is saying some things to us. And maybe it comes because of the attitude of who I am, of your pastor, being the pastor of the church. You got to start at the top. Is that right? God's got to start at the top and work his way downward. So I'm going to give what he gave to me this morning because I believe it's very important to us as the body of Christ in the earth, what he's trying to do in our city, what he's trying to do in our state, what he's trying to do in our land. Amen? Hallelujah. And from there on, it goes international. It really does. We have international folks here. We have people that have come and worked internationally and done things. And God has blessed them mightily. And it's not because they're not here because Pastor Henry can put on a good show. They're here because there's an anointing in the house, and every one of you help bring that anointing. Do you know that? You realize it's not a one-man thing. It's not somebody just, it is a move and a work of God. From the pulpit to the painting of the walls and the people standing on the man lift out there, it's a work of God. Do we understand what God is doing in the midst? It's cool. It's crazy. I couldn't think of this and orchestrate this. Ain't no way. I got no idea how to do these kind of things. But because of God and who he is, we're going to see great things in this earth. Amen. And I thank God you guys are part of it. And hallelujah. And I will tell you this, that I have been... And God has told me, don't you corral my people. How many of you heard that before? I've said that how many times? Probably 300 times in this church. God has told me, don't you corral my people. Don't corral them. Don't expect them. Don't expect them. Don't expect them to listen just to you. Expect them to hear what I'm telling them. And if God tells you, hey, brother, you got to work in Tennessee or Nebraska, where are you getting in?
Kentucky.
Let them go. Is that all right? Is that okay? Let them go. Don't fight it. Don't push against it. Let them go. So we will never try to hold you here.
Well, he was talking about the church last night and all the stuff that has to be done.
Praise God. That's that.
But he claims to be
the first. Amen. We won't try to hold you here. We will bless you. We'll pray for you. We'll watch over you while you're here. Encourage you. Build you up. And watch what God does with you. I was talking to Caleb this morning as we walked. I got a young man that prays with me in the morning. As I was talking, and we were talking as we were walking, and I told him, I said, you know what? My desire to see what God is going to do out of you, what God's going to do with you. That's what my desire is. I'm excited about seeing those kind of things. We're here, folks, because I believe that God's going to do great things out of each and every one of you. I believe it. I just believe that. And I'm excited about seeing it happen. Amen? I'm excited about seeing you guys strengthened and built up in the Spirit of God so that when those that are lost, they do walk through the doors, we will be able ministers of the Word of God to help them, to watch over them, take care of them. Is that okay? I think it's a good deal. Amen? Because the body of Christ, I think in this time right now, is more alive than she's been in a long time in the United States. How many of you know what I'm saying? I believe just the last week has electrified the body of Christ in a way that folks are saying, hey, man, God's doing something. How many of you know that? Do you realize God's doing something in our nation? Do you realize that God is responding to the prayers of the saints? Do you realize that? That there is a move of God happening. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, I want to be in the move. Amen? I want to be in that move. I want to be right there. Hallelujah. And I want you to be there too. Amen? Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. I probably better get to... Title of this message is, Are You Ready for This? I don't know, did you guys get it up? Are you? Look at your neighbor and say, Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Look at the one on the other side and say, Are you ready for this? Tell them, well, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. Look the other way and tell the other person, Get ready. Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready because God is doing something. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? If you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Glory to God. Keep it simple. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. I like that sound. Praise God. That's good. Everybody there? Yeah, okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father God, we know that your word, Father God, is fuel for our spirit. We know that, Father. So, Lord, as we're reading your word, as we're looking at your word, Father, I ask, Father God, that you would fuel our spirits this morning in whatever way you want, Lord. It's your desire. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done, Father. Your will be done on earth, in this earth, as it is in heaven, Lord. So allow, Father God, Lord, as we open the windows of our hearts, Father, we ask you, Lord, come in, sup with us. We invite you in this morning. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Says this, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel. But on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven. How many know it's important that the things that God is doing in our lives, that as we walk, we allow those things that he's doing to just shine forth. How do you do that? How is it that you can allow those things that God's doing in your life, how is it that you can allow those things to shine forth? One of the basic things, let me look around, is smile. Smile. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Let your face know it. Amen. Hallelujah. Just smile. Hallelujah. It could be that somebody say, What are you smiling about? Smiley? Oh, let me tell you. But just, hey, how do you do? Hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian, the Word of God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is that right? Hallelujah. And where do you get strength from? Hallelujah. You know what we were feeling this morning? Believe it or not, that's strengthening in you. Because the Word of God says, In thy presence, O God, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. You get joy by spending time in the presence of God. Spending time in the presence of God, what it does is just it builds you and strengthens you. It's just what it does. It's cool. What the world would think is a waste of time for you to go into your closet and spend time with God, I'm going to tell you, God is saying, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm after. I'm after that. I want to give you joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. To where you're down in front of the high school jumping around like something bit you. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys, a lot of you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Will you agree with me that the world needs us?
Yes.
Do you know that the world needs us? Colossians chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6 says this. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You see that? Hallelujah. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know what you ought to answer every man. Hallelujah. This scripture right here is the scripture that God got a hold of me about when I said that thing about those folks. Walk in wisdom. And it's wise for us to understand, it's wise for me to understand, that what they're doing is because they don't understand God. How many know that? What they're doing it because there's a lack of knowledge and understanding in their life. And it's wisdom for me to not allow that to affect me. Is that right? So I'm going to tell you this morning, don't let those things affect you. It disappeared. Huh. Don't let those things affect you. But it says, redeeming the time. And one of the things that he spoke to me about this was redeeming the time. What are you talking about, Lord, when it says redeeming the time? I'm looking at this and I said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You know the time that it takes you to get all fired up and all these thoughts about what's going on, what shouldn't be and all this stuff? Redeem that time. Grab that time back and start to say, God, I'm just going to pray about this. I'm going to redeem this time. I'm going to make it useful in the kingdom. How many know? Do you hear what I'm saying? There is a spiritual way to walk, and God's saying this is a spiritual way to walk. Redeem that time. And rather than complaining, rather than looking at them and calling them all these different words, redeem that time and begin to speak into the kingdom. Begin to speak the kingdom into that event. Amen? Is that okay? Are you getting this? God is saying, look, we have to be spiritual-minded folks. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I love it. Redeem the time. Then it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Grace again today. I'm going to say this again. Grace today. Listen, grace is the word charis, and charis, that word means divine influence upon the heart. That's grace. So I'm going to say that. So what is grace today? I'm going to just say, let's just say, agree with me today that grace is divine influence on the heart. I mean, I'm asking you to agree because, you know, I mean, look it up. Look up the Greek word, charis. It's not unmerited favor. It is divine influence upon the heart. So if you read this verse with that, just look at it. It says what it says here. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with divine influence. You see that? Divine influence. What's coming out of your mouth, let it allow it to become divine influence. Let it go forward, let it go out. And that way, you will always know what to answer those that are talking to you. Is that okay? Because divine influence is happening. Grace is happening to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Grace. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses. No, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. I love this portion of scripture. And it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5 says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Yes. And I want you to look at this very closely. And sometimes we think that this is talking about the world around us, and I'm going to tell you something, this is talking about the world within us. Do you hear me? This is the world within us. He's saying casting down imaginations. Those things that you're thinking that are contrary to the word of God, throw them down. Is that right? How do you cast them down? Sometimes it's hard. Would you agree with me? Sometimes that thought comes in so hard and begins to push on you and you start to go down that little trail. But be watching because the Holy Spirit will say, no, 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 don't go there. There'll be something happening within you. And so you cast down that imagination. This is going on the inside. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says, bringing into captivity every thought to what? The obedience of Christ. Is that right? What is the obedience of Christ? What did he do? He sacrificed himself on a cross. Is that right? He died. And in 3 days he was resurrected. That's why I love that song that we sang this morning. The resurrected king is what? Resurrecting me. Is that right? Can I tell you, there is a promise. Can I just say this to you? There's a promise that when you die to yourself, God will resurrect you with life that's from above. Do you hear me? So allow those things that you're thinking, allow those things that saying, hey man, you know what? This is not right, God. Let it die. Because when you let it die, the resurrected king will begin to resurrect the right thought and the right way to go. Is that okay? Is that good? Come on. God is saying something. He says, my kingdom operates in a totally different manner. It works in a different way than what you're used to. And God says, hey, man, I have sent my Holy Spirit. That's his job. That's what he does. Is that okay? That's cool, man. Praise God. All right. We're going to get into a long series of verses here. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, hey, nobody just stands up there and reads the Bible to folks. And he told me, he said, look up Hezekiah. I said, oh man, okay. And you know, they came to a point where they stood and read the Word of God. Listen, they stood and read the Word of God, and as they read the Word of God, people began to weep. People began to repent. Hallelujah. So I don't feel so bad about taking a long stretch of time and reading you the Word of God. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Because I believe God is going to use this. I believe because God is saying things to us that he is saying, look, hey, the time is today. There is a, if you will, there is a spiritual move. There is a spiritual momentum that has started. And God is saying, look, this is not the time to kick back and say, this is the time to break forth into joy. Oh, my soul. Is that right? Break forth into joy. Hallelujah. Spending time with God, you're going to find out that God has a lot to say to you. Amen. So we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. And I'm going to say everyone in the house is called. Is that right? Walk worthy of that vocation. You're the call to the Lord. Is that okay? It's cool, man. With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Folks, we absolutely, absolutely need to know how to get along with folks. Is that right? Absolutely. We need to absolutely not allow anything to just kick us back or offend us. Do you know that love is never offended? Did you know that? It never gets offended. Do you think Jesus was offended? When they slapped him, was he offended? No. When they put that crown of thorns on his head, did he get offended? No. When they took him up, put him on that cross, nailed him to the cross, did he get offended? No, he wasn't. As a matter of fact, when they finally got that cross put into place, standing up so all the world could see, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Was he offended? He was not offended. Stripped naked, stripped bare, not offended. Hallelujah. We absolutely have to learn how to get along with one another. Is that okay? Hallelujah. It's okay. It's all right. The unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit begins to push on one another. Do you hear me? It begins to push over here and push over. You know what? My brother, you know, I don't like the way Brother John combs his hair.
I got a big
party. Amen. Come on. Stella defrosted our freezer for us. and John was complaining because he was using his hair dryer. She was using his hair dryer. Hey, I mean, you know what? Is it really worth losing the unity of the Spirit when we're going after one another? Is it worth it? It's not worth it. Oh, God. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Y'all. He's in y'all. Y'all. Amen. One God. Hallelujah. In this scripture, I sense the reason while I'm praying, why I'm praying on church properties. Because we're all one. We belong. I mean, maybe they're not believing exactly the same way, but God says, you know what? He goes, remember what Elijah said? Lord, there's only one. I guess I'm the only one left. There's no other. I'm the only one that's out here. And what did God tell him? I have reserved unto me 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. How's that, Elijah? You ain't the only one. You're not the only one. And this church is not the only one. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, there's folks out there that love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, even more than y'all. Hey, come on, man. Don't get mad. Remember, I said no offense. Folks, I'll tell you, God is after the body of Christ. He's after us, saying, be one. One with one another. Hallelujah. I remember being in Safeway one day, and there was this guy had all these Jesus stickers on his van, right? So, man, I love God. I walked to him, hey, brother, how's it going, man? How are you? He goes, good, man. He goes, where do you go to church, bro? I said, well, I'm Assembly of God. He goes, hey, I've got something for you. I said, all right, cool, man. You know how you get ready? Yeah, what do you got for me? He handed me a tract that said, why speaking in tongues is not of God. And I looked at him, I go, too late, brother. Yeah. I gave it back to him. Too late, man. It's okay. And just then, there's some folks walking by, and they saw some kind of, one of the stickers on his bumper of his truck. It had some kind of a convention that he was at, and they asked him, hey, did you go to the convention? And they said, and he told them, yeah, I did. He said, did you guys go? Oh, yeah, wasn't it a great convention? Yeah, great. And then they looked at me, and they said, are you a brother? And that guy that was driving that van, he goes, no, he's one of them. I'm right there. One of who, bro? What are you talking about? Those people laughed, and I said, look, bro, I'm going to just say something to you. You and me are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are brothers. You're my brother. And I would never, never, ever, ever do what you just got through doing to me, because you have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, who is my Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. And you go, hey. And he just kind of looked at me, and I said, hey, man, I love you, man. I got to go shopping for my wife, okay? Okay, bye. Hallelujah. You know what? Don't get offended. Is that right? Is it okay? Well, I'm telling you, God is calling the body of Christ. The body of Christ. One Lord, one Spirit, one God. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. It's okay. Hallelujah. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm going to read that again. But to every one of us is given divine influence according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Do you see that? Divine influence. Every one of us has been given divine influence according to the gift of Christ. Let me ask you what the gift of Christ is. What is the gift of Christ? His name is the Holy Ghost. His name is the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Hallelujah. According to the gift. Because let me just say, God, where is Jesus? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. Is that right? That's where he's sitting. You know, we teach our kids, you know, Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my heart. But seriously, actually, it's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has given charge of this world to bring the body of Christ into unity. Is that right? And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're acting the way, some of the way I just described earlier, if you're acting that way, let me just say this to you, you are acting against what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Does that shake you a little bit? That certainly shakes me. God is not trying to divide us. He's trying to bring us together. Amen. And what I saw this last week and a couple of weeks before, I saw God doing things that I hadn't even expected. I saw out of my own son's mouth, he says, God's, it's crazy what God's doing. Yeah, it is. It is. He is bringing the body into a different light. Amen? Hallelujah. You rejoice over that. Are you thankful for that this month? Man, I'm thankful. Praise God. Unto the measure of the gift of Christ. The measure. Oh, let me just talk to you about the measure. How much is it? How much is in that measure? Let me ask you this. Well, how much do you want? That's it. How much do you want? How much of the Holy Ghost do you want? How much of Christ do you want? How much is that measure? With some of us, it's way, I mean, other ones, man, it's others, man, I'm just starting, man. It's just starting to get started. But I'm going to tell you, how much do you want? That measure. Because let me just show you a scripture. I don't think I gave it to the guys back there. Sorry. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 16. Can you put that up real quick? How much do you want? Did I give you that scripture? No. Sorry. John chapter 1 verse 16. We're going to wait just a little bit. There it is. And of his fullness, how much? Fullness, we have all received divine influence for divine influence. For divine influence. He's given us divine influence for divine influence. But look at how, of his fullness we have all received. How much has he given us? He has given us, folks, everything that he had. Can you get that? Is that crazy? That's how much he's given. And of his fullness we have all received. That's how much he's given us. He's given us. So how much of that do you want? I want it all, Lord. Give it to me, Lord. Give me everything that you want, Father, for my life. Ooh, man, of his fullness we have all received. That scripture says this, it says, but unto every one of us is given divine influence according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The Holy Spirit is carrying everything. He's Jesus. He's God. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And then verse 9 and 10 are in parentheses. I don't know if it's showing that up there. You're going to see that he added this because of verse 8. He says, now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended or was raised up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. When Jesus came from heaven, he descended into the earth. Is that okay? But that wasn't the end of his descending trip. Is that right? He came as a baby, 33 years, died on a cross, and when he died, he continued his descent. Is that correct? And that descent took him into the lower and the deepest part of hell, where he paid the price for all of us. And then the resurrection king, the king of the resurrection, was brought up out of the grave. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that. And then he ascended up to his Father. He sat at the right hand of the Father. 50 days later after the ascension, or 50 days later, somewhere in there. Yeah. He sent his Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's been the Holy Spirit since. Amen. Praise God. So verse 8, he's actually quoting a scripture in Psalms chapter 68, verse 18. Did I give you that one, Sean? No? I'm going to read you the scripture. Psalm 68, 18. Are you guys okay? Do I need to stop? No? Are you okay? Right, here we go. Verse 18 of Psalm 68 says this, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. That's what we just read in Ephesians there. And then he says, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. How many of you are rebellious? Anybody, were you rebellious? Anybody in the house rebellious? Yeah, come on, come on. For you guys too? Yeah, yeah, come on. For you rebellious? And he says, that the Lord might dwell among you. Is that right? Oh, come on, man. So that the Lord might dwell among you. That's good, man. Hallelujah, Jesus. Check it out. Verse 11 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. For the perfecting of the saints. Some folks are afraid of that, but I'm going to say do not be afraid of that, because the perfection that he's given is not your perfection. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? You have died. The Bible says that, you know, that you've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Yet it's not you that live. It's Christ that lives in you. Is that okay? All right. So because of that, he says, for the perfecting of the saints. That perfection is not your perfection. It's actually the perfection that comes through the blood of Jesus. It comes into your life. It begins to wash everything away and causes you to walk as a man of God, as a strong man of God, or a woman of God, as a strong woman of God. Amen. Perfection, being perfected by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's the only one that can do it. Amen. And he does it by showing you the Word of God and what he's doing for you. All right? All right? That's okay. For the building and edifying of the body of Christ. Folks, we need to be building one another. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Do you see how the body is edifying? Look at your neighbor and said, I need you. Yeah. Look around. Look. I'm going to tell you something. We need each other. The Bible says every part doing what God has given them to do. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Is that all right? God has given every one of us a certain thing to do. Is that okay? What he's given me to do is not probably not the same thing he's given you to do. And what Brother Lanny's gotten to do is probably not the same as Brother Hank. Every one of us have different things that God has given to us to do in the body of Christ. So we need each other. Is that okay? We need one another. So another reason why we need to pay attention to the unity of the Spirit. Why God has got us here. Is that okay? Good, man. Hallelujah. Get ready. Are you ready for this? Nobody. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Listen. The name of the sermon is, Are You Ready for This? And I'm going to tell you something. Ready or not, it's coming. Whether you're ready or not, it's coming. God's going to do something. Ready or not, it's coming. Because I would tell you, folks, God is interested in the lost. He's interested in the lost. He's not interested in just how pretty and nice we can look. Is that right? He's not interested on how good we can look on the outside. He's interested on the inside of us so that we can be prepared for what's coming. Is that okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles walk. Do you see that? God is telling us not to walk the way the world walks. Is that okay? I'm going to tell you, that's okay. As a matter of fact, that is a command. Don't walk the way the Gentiles walk or the world walks. It doesn't do any good. It's not profitable to them. It will take them, even though it looks good, looks pretty in certain things, it will not have the results that God is asking for from the body of Christ in the earth. Is that okay? Did I say that correctly? God is looking for results in the earth, and he's given us his Son to make these things happen. Is that right? He says, do not walk as other Gentiles walk in the, what does it say, vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Sounds pretty mean, huh? Yeah, but remember when you were there? I remember when I was there. I was blinded by the ignorance. I was blind. Man, come on. Hallelujah. So we, folks, we just cannot be. We can't be judgmental toward those that don't know the Lord. We can't do that. He's not telling us to do that. He says this, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. I just want to look at that, being past feeling, giving themselves over to lasciviousness. I want to tell you, lasciviousness, I said, man, I got to look up that word because I'm not real sure what it means. You guys know what I mean? Does anybody do that? I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary, and it gave, and it said a few things, and I'm going to, lasciviousness, wantonness, unbridled lust. Does that sound like our world today? Come on. Shamelessness, filthy words, arousing sexual desire, and it says lascivious photographs, and I would call that pornography, would you? Folks, and I know our world does these things, but I'm going to tell you something. This right here, listen, this can be hidden in your heart, but I'm going to say God knows exactly where it is at. Is that right? I'm believing that there's not a person in the house that goes after. You know that ladies go after pornography just like guys do? Did you know that? You guys are awful quiet. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Just listen to me. God knows. He sees it. And I'm going to tell you something. He's addressing it this morning. He's saying, if you're in that, if that's happening in your life, and I'm trying not to make any eye contact with anybody because I don't know anything about anybody, okay? I'm trying not to just look at you and say, man, you know what, God knows, brother, God knows what you do. Listen, I'm just saying that because God does know. He knows what it's like. He knows what you're doing. And he says, time to stop. Time to lay it down, put it away. It's not taking you any place. It's not giving you anything. Is that right? Is that okay? But I'm going to tell you something. I got to say what God tells me to say. And he's saying he's concerned about you. He wants you to know that I've got better things for you. Hallelujah. If you'll just set those things down. Hallelujah. One of the uses it said is dirty old men lusting after women. That was one of the things it said in the dictionary. Dirty old men. Hallelujah. I said, come on, man. Hallelujah. Oh, God. God, show us your ways, Lord. Amen. Ooh, man, hallelujah. We're going to move on. Is that okay? You guys say, hey, move on, Pastor. Get out of that. Praise God. I can get back to looking at you guys. Hallelujah. But you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21 says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus. Is that right? That's it, man. The whole thing about it is that Jesus, he is the way, what? The truth and the life. Truth comes through Jesus. If you're learning anything out of the Word of God, if you're learning anything at all, if it's true, it's coming via the Holy Spirit in your life because of who Jesus is. Is that cool? Hallelujah. This way, folks, no man gets a credit for any of this. Is that right? It is God and God alone that gets a credit for what he's doing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Okay? Not looking at you. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. That's cool, huh? Edify one another in truth. For we are members one of another. Is that something to think about? Can I just tell you something? Let's say there's somebody, let's say that I don't want to give him a name. Let's say there's a guy in here that is looking at pornography. And I'm going to tell you something. Because the Word of God teaches us that we are members one of another. Can I say this to you? You're taking the whole body of Christ into that thing. Is that weird? That's not weird. That's what God's saying. You are a body. We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Get rid of it. Get rid of it, because God is going to do it. If you don't get rid of it, can I tell you, God will expose it. I thought we were supposed to get away from the subject. Listen, I believe God's saying something. Listen, when you do that, when we do those, do you know that when you secretly go in there, I mean, and whatever it is you do in secret, hallelujah. I don't know, I was trying to think of something, but I better not say anything. When you do it, you're taking the rest of us with you. And that's quite a thought. When you do it, you're taking your children with you. You're taking your loved ones. Is that okay? So let me just say this. Stop. Stop doing it. Hallelujah. Wow. Is that enough, Lord? come on, Lord. All right. It says this. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then it says this. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a place. There was a time when we first got in here, we had just come out of that, out of the where the Sunday school room is now. We're facing this way, having service. And right in the middle of service, all of a sudden this banging, like wind, like a super hard wind outside. All of a sudden, the door that's in the bar area over there, it opened, and the papers that were along the that were next to the table, next to the door, flew out. Out. The wind didn't blow in, it was blowing out. And I had a young man look at me and says, "Those, my friend, were demons." And I believe it. When he said that, I felt that. And I said, "You know what? We have left no place in this building for those kind of activity. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Can I tell you where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty? Can I tell you that? That where God is, man. And we don't give any place to the devil. Is that right? I was going to bring a table up here and bring a couple of chairs. But I'm going to say sometimes, you know, the Bible says this, He prepares a place for me in the presence of my enemy. That's in Psalm 23. He prepares a place for me in the presence of my enemy. And sometimes, folks, you will let the devil sit down next to the place where God has given us. And I'm going to say, don't let him do that. Get rid of the chair. You ain't sitting with me, boy. Is that right?
That's right.
Escort him to the door. Amen? Get out. Seriously, I'm telling you, give no place to the devil. Don't allow him in. Look at the things that you're doing. Watch the things. You know what? Years ago, I was standing. No, I'm sorry. I had a dream. I had a dream. Years ago, I had this dream. I'm a dreamer. God does give me dreams. How many of you know that? God will give you dreams if you let him. If you say, God, just give me a dream. Go home. Go to bed tonight and say, Lord, give me a dream. Show me what you're doing. Okay? And see what happens. Don't call me when you wake up from your dream. Call me the next morning, but don't call me right then. All right, but when he gives you a dream, this one, I was in my dream, I could hear a lady just north of my property just crying and calling. You know, whatever. And in the dream, I went to go see, and I'm looking around, and all of a sudden, I could hear these stomping, like something running that was very big, and then it ran right by me. I didn't see it. I couldn't see it, but it felt like it was going to run over, but I felt it run right by me, and when I turned around and looked towards the house, I saw the door of my house open and shut, and I go, oh no, it's in my house. So I run over there, go in the house, and I'm going through the bedrooms. This is in a dream. This is a dream still, right? I'm going through the bedrooms, and I'm looking, And when I get to the bedroom door, my wife and I, our bedroom door, I open the door, and this, what looked like a weird-looking lion, just went, rah! And I woke up, oh, God, what was that, Lord? What was that? And I, you know, and it bothered me. It was real. It had so much impact on me. Is it so much that when I would go out towards that corner of the property where I had first heard that crying, I sensed something. I said, Lord, what's going on here? What is this? Father, what are you showing me? Lord, there's something going on. I don't get it. What are you showing me? A few days later, my kids had rented a movie, and it was called Romeo and Juliet. How many of you like Romeo and Juliet? Yeah. No, none of the guys. I did. I liked Romeo and Juliet. I thought it was good. I thought it was a cool movie. Olivia Hussey. You guys remember that? Never mind. She was Juliet in that first one. But this one was some kind of a modern one. They were driving cars, you know, and it was kind of a weird Romeo and Juliet, the Montagues and the Capulets. Is that right? Yeah, sorry. Sorry, man. Okay. But in that, they were driving these cars back and forth, and all of a sudden, they, you know, where Romeo and Juliet first met was at some kind of a party. Well, these guys are at a party, and they're all dressed up in these wild costumes. And while I'm watching it with the kids, all of a sudden, I felt something in my spirit just come to my spirit. And I sat up, and I got kind of alert. It was God. I could sense God alerting me to something. And they're looking at each other. You know, you know how guys and girls are. They look at each other, and you know. The girl's playing hard to get. She looks behind an aquarium or whatever. I don't know, it's kind of crazy. But in that, they started showing, going through all these costume faces in the movie. It's just kind of weird, you know, they're showing all these costume faces. And all of a sudden, they show this one face, and it comes up very quickly on the screen. And it had like a little roar with it. And it was that lion I saw in that dream. It come up, whoa, and it was gone. And I looked at it, go, whoa. Got up. I don't know if Rebecca remembers this. I got up. It was a what they call VHS type at that time. Pulled it out of the VHS and went, crack. Broke that thing. I said, "You're out of my house, man." It was like God was warning me, watching. He said, "Why? Look, I'm going to show you something. You know what?" We're going to have to pay for that. That was rented. I don't care. I don't care. Hallelujah. God had showed me something. Know this. Oh, man. That God is watching over us to give us warning. But you got to listen for the warnings. Amen? You got to listen. You got to hear. You got to understand what God's trying to do in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. What verse am I on? Does anybody know? Neither give place to the devil. Is that cool? Verse says, let him that stole steal no more. Okay, are we addressing issues in the house? Come on. Hallelujah. You got a little sticky finger problem going on? God is addressing it, all right? But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Amen? God wants to get things to you so that you can give to those that have need. Is that cool? That's what he's saying. Don't be stealing anymore. Work. Work with your hands, and God will bless you. And then in his blessing, he'll give you enough so you can give to those that have need. That's cool, man. Let no corrupt communication, once again, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. That it may minister what?
Grace.
Thank you. Divine influence to the hearers. Let's seriously, when you read your word of God, throw that word, those words in there, and it seems like it will make a lot of sense because the divine influence is the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Is that okay? Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Is that a good one to remember? All right, sorry, it's just taking so long, I'm almost done. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Is he nailing things? God is saying things to us, folks. Let none of these things be in your life. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, or that word translates are not suitable, but rather giving of thanks. Folks, you know, it's in our world today that people will make fun of things. Is that right? They make fun of whatever. And they do foolish gestures. They will do foolish, sexual gestures in the world today. And I'm going to tell you, God is saying, stop. Don't do it. No, don't be doing those kind of things. Is that okay? We are the body of Christ, and we're called to live a life that's pure. Is that okay? Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't mean that your life stops. You can go to a football game and be a godly man of God. Is that right? You can have fun. You can enjoy the life that God's given you. And I'll tell you something. As a man of God or a woman of God, you'll enjoy it even more because you have lived a life before God to say, man, God, I just want to love you and serve you. Hallelujah. It's okay. It's okay. Can I tell you, I like to dance. I do. I like getting my wife and, come on, sweetie, let's dance. You know, I like doing that. I haven't done it at church very much because I was taught not to dance. But I tell you, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to give up your life. It's actually God has come to give you life and more abundant life, even better. Those things that you like to do, there are reasons they're there because God knows they're there. God wants you to enjoy yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. But maintain the gospel in your life. Maintain the purity of what righteousness is to you. Maintain that. And you watch. Things get better. They just do. Hallelujah. Okay, we're almost done. Everybody go, phew. No? For this know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. Do you know that covetousness is idolatry? You put your mind on, hey, that Corvette, I got to have that Corvette. If I don't get that Corvette, I'm going to die. I mean, you put your, and that's covetousness. Amen? He says this, he says, for you know this, that no whoremonger, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't let anybody deceive you with vain words. The TV will do that a lot to you. Got a headache? Here's an Excedrin for you. Don't need it. Have the blood of Jesus. Notice all the medication for people who are depressed. Notice that? Can I tell you, the joy of the Lord will bring depression out of anybody? Do you know that? Spending time in the presence of God. Let me just say that to you. That's a reality of what God's saying. Depression is not of God. It's not. Hallelujah. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, truth. What do we start with? We start, you are the light of the world. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Which is not secret. I'm going to add that on there. Is that okay? The things that they do in secret, it's not secret. It's not a secret. They might think it's a secret, but they are only deceiving themselves. Because God sees everything. their angels, which are assigned to them, and I believe people, whether they know the Lord or not, there's angels that are assigned to them. Their angels are seeing what they're doing. Isn't that crazy? They think they're doing it in secret, and it's not. For it's even a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That time that you would be spending doing what is not right, redeem that time and begin to do what is right. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine. Do you like this? Hallelujah. How many like wine in the house? How many like wine? I haven't drank alcohol in years, since 1979. And I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to condemn him. Don't think, hey, man, you got a beer in your refrigerator. It's okay. It's all right. Let me just say this. I went to my daughter. We was working at Rugazzi's at the time. And I ordered a steak. It was the only one on the menu that was in. And it looked interesting. So I bought the steak. And it was cooked in wine. Is that okay? And I couldn't believe how good it was. To the point where I was trying to get every last drop of that steak sauce that was on that plate. I go, Rosie goes, why no? Hey, you guys know the alcohol was cooked out of it. But let me just say this to you. Maintain the purity of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maintain the righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. All these things. That's what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Be not drunk with wine. How many know it's not a sin to drink? It's a sin to get drunk. And some folks would, well, I'm not drunk. Well, you just fell down three times, man. I think you're drunk. I'm not drunk. Yeah, come on. It's a sin, bro. It is a sin. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excesses, but be filled with the Spirit. And here's that place I want to say this to you. Filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. Can I just say this to you? I would imagine that half the things, probably three quarters of the things, probably about 89% of the things you're worried about, if you would just allow the Spirit into your life to fill you and thrill you, you're going to find out that all those things are of no consequence to you. They're absolutely got nothing to say to you. The Word of God is very clear, very clear. That he has paid a price for you. That he has washed you from your sins. He has healed every ailment that is known to man through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. He has healed every ailment that is known to man through the blood of his son Jesus. Period. Period. So be filled with the Spirit and you watch what happens. You watch what drops off of you. Can I tell you, migraines have no place? They've got no chance against the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They've got no chance against what God is saying to his people. Amen. I don't care what you call it. Doesn't matter. I get a little put off when people go, they've got cancer. Oh my God. I don't care. I don't care what you call it. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. He paid a price for that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Can I get the worship team up? Hallelujah. I want to do that song, guys, if you will. The resurrected King has resurrected me. And giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, submitting yourselves to one another, listen, in heart, in the fear of God. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do right now, there's a lot of things we went through. And I think it was kind of like a shotgun blast. Is that right? Kvoof, kvoof, kvoof. I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to invite everybody. I'm going to just invite you all to the altar. So we can just pray, okay? Just come on up. And I'm going to tell you something. Because I don't know what it is about us. We're afraid to get up to here. Well, you know what? I'll get right here. Or how about if I just sit in my seat right here? But I'm going to tell you something. Doing business with the Lord is just... I mean, God knows. He knows where you're at. So just come on up and let God, and just say to him, and I'm not going to, you know, just say to him, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry, God, that I haven't done those things, Father. So as the music plays, I want you just to praise God. And